I wonder if you could have one superpower, what would it be? Or if you could be one particular superhero, what would that superhero be? I want you to take 1 minute, whether you're young or old, I want you to take 1 minute to discuss that. If you could have one superpower, what would it be? Discuss it for 1 minute and then be ready to feed back. Okay, go. One superpower, who would you love to be? All right then, let's find out about your superhero and superpower knowledge. Who's got a particular superhero or a particular superpower that they would love to have? Malcolm.
I would like to be able to beam myself over to another part of the planet in an instant.
Wow, that would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? To be able to get to any part of the planet straight away. That would be really cool. Yes. Okay, yeah, Wolverine is able to heal himself instantly. That's pretty cool. Yes. Ant-Man. So you can shrink down super small. What would you do if you were super small? Whatever you can't this size. That's a great answer. And this young man in the Batman top. Have you got an idea? You'd be the Hulk. Wow, be as strong as the Hulk. That'd be fantastic. Well, there are some really fantastic ideas there, aren't there? I'm greedy because I'm the speaker. I'm going to have 4 different ideas to tell you. No one said this one, which I was surprised at, but here's the first one: to be able to fly like Superman. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be so peaceful, so serene to be able to fly high up above everything else? Plus, you wouldn't get stuck in Reading rush hour traffic either. That would be fantastic. Or a second one, my son said this, to be super speedy, like the Flash. It'd just be amazing, wouldn't it? I could get to Australia or Brazil or Japan quicker than you could get to Tesco Express.
Okay, there's another speedy one.
Yes.
The reverse flash.
Excellent. Good. Here's a third one, to be able to go invisible like the Invisible Woman. That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? You could know what people are up to. You could know what they're saying when you're not around. There's certainly a part of me that appeals to, definitely. And then, you'll like this one, there's strength, isn't there? To be like the Hulk. Wouldn't that be cool to be able to Hulk out and to be able to defeat the strongest enemy with just your little finger? That would be amazing. Now, you know, DC and Marvel, the two biggest publishers of superhero comics, they've made all kinds of superheroes with all kinds of amazing powers. But, well, as far as I know, they've never created a Captain Patience or a long-suffering man. They've never created a hero who is so patient that she can wait without complaining and without going on the iPad while her mum or dad cook some dinner. They've never created a hero who's able to keep his temper under control, even when he's been kept on hold with his insurance company for an hour and 45 minutes. They've never created a hero who's able to be patient with her son, even when he gets the same spelling wrong 15 times in a row. Those characters, they've never been created. Because really, who would read a comic or who would watch a movie about those things? But you know, actually, that's real strength, isn't it? To have patience and self-control like that. And it's really rare. So rare that a guy named Cicero, a Roman who lived about 100 years before Jesus, he said this should come up on the screen. Fewer men are found who conquer their own lusts than that overcome the armies of enemies. Patience is rare, and self-control is rare. Actually, maybe it's more rare now than it was 2,000 years ago. Back at the end of July, when there were all those power cuts along Baker Street, I think that showed me how instantly we are used to having things. But with no power, no electricity, I couldn't wash clothes. Couldn't check my bank balance online. I couldn't even watch any cat videos on YouTube. All of those things that I can normally do just by tapping a few buttons or hitting a few keys, I had to wait. And actually, I saw how hard it is to be patient when I want something straight away, I'm used to having it straight away, and I can't have it. But it's a good thing. It's already been referred to, hasn't it? It's a good thing to be patient and to be self-controlled, isn't it? Isn't it actually something that you want to see more of in yourself as well as the people around you? And it's possible to grow in patience. It's possible to control our tempers even when there's not much happening, when we feel like things should be happening straight away. It is possible to have such a long fuse that we don't explode in anger or bitterness or sarcasm, even when we feel really hard done by. Again, here's a verse from the Bible that we're particularly looking at this morning. Better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper rather than one who takes a city. A soldier is strong. In order to join the British Army, you need to be able to run 2 kilometres in 11 minutes, 15 seconds or less. You need to be able to throw a heavy 3-kilogram ball 3 metres or more from a sitting position, and there's other tests of strength and stamina too. And of course, that's just the beginning, isn't it? In a soldier's basic training, he's going to become stronger and he's going to become fitter. But a patient man has a greater strength. Better a patient man than a warrior. To conquer a city takes great power. A guy called Alexander the Great, he lived a few centuries before Jesus. When he died at the age of 32, he had conquered many cities. He'd brought down cities all around the then known world. He had defeated the mighty Persian Empire. He's remembered even today as the man who never lost a battle. And yet for all of his strength, Alexander was very weak. So weak that once when he was drunk, he killed one of his best friends, Cletus the Black, a man who had saved Alexander's life 6 years earlier. Alexander might have been physically strong, but he was lacking in self-control. Better a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. The Bible tells us that it's even better to be strong in patience and self-control than to be physically strong. The Bible tells us that Captain Patience is stronger than the Incredible Hulk. This proverb from the Bible that was written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus or Cicero or Alexander the Great lived. It tells us that patience and controlling your temper is better than being a commander of a successful army. Because patience and self-control, they conquer things that nothing else can. Strength and military strategy might conquer a city, but sometimes only patience will do. I've got 2 points to make. Here comes the first. God is patient with us. See what his patience achieves. God is patient with us. See what his patience achieves. God is, of course, totally powerful, stronger than the Hulk. He could bring down any city that he wanted to in an instant. And in fact, he has done that, hasn't he? He's brought down, he has destroyed cities that stood in rebellion against him. But actually, think this morning about how patient God is. Think about how patient he has been with you, with us. Think about the fact that the whole human race, every single one of us, has turned away from God. Every single one of us has acted like we're the strongest. Acted like we're the ones in charge of our lives. Acted like we're the ones who can conquer cities. And God, in his patience, he hasn't lashed out. He hasn't sent us to hell. He hasn't lost his temper and destroyed us, even though that's what we deserve. Instead of sending thunderbolts down on us, God the Father has sent his Son, Jesus, to live that perfect life that you and I haven't lived, where he was ultra patient with his disciples, even as they bumbled around for 3 years without really understanding who he was or what he'd come to do. He didn't give up on them. He didn't go and choose a better crew. He continued to be patient with them. and where he was totally patient with every situation that the Father put him in. He never complained as he walked around dusty villages. He didn't complain as people turned against him. He didn't even complain, did he, when he was nailed to a cross, to the worst form of torture around. He was like a lamb before its shearers, silent. Because he knew that it was through the cross that sin would be forgiven, that the devil would be defeated, that the children who God had promised him before the world was made would be brought into his family. God could have sent thunderbolts down, but instead he sent his son to live, to die, to rise again. He did this because of his patient love. And this patient love, it brings rescue. It brings salvation. God's patience achieves salvation to all who turn from sin. Please, will you consider that? And if you have turned from sin, and if you're trusting in Jesus now and not yourself, then rejoice. Give thanks. Glorify God for his patience. Praise him for how he drew you by his Spirit to hear about Jesus and to trust in Jesus and to go on trusting Jesus. And if you haven't done that, if you haven't trusted Jesus, if you haven't recognized how amazing it is that the Son of God died and rose to bring us into his forgiven family, if you haven't recognized how awesome God's patience with us is, well, you should give thanks to God for his patience. Because if you're here this morning, if you're alive this morning, it is because God has been patient with you. But friends, you must not presume that he'll be patient forever. God's been patient with you for a purpose. Listen to what Jesus' friend Peter says. Peter says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." That's why God has been so patient with you, so that you might recognize his goodness and change your mind about living for yourself, so that you might turn to Jesus and trust in him and live for him instead. And you can do that this morning. And then you'll begin to know how loving, how merciful, how patient God has been with you. And it'll be a cause for celebration, a cause for rejoicing, as you see how patient he's been with you, how patient he has been with all of us. If you've not done that yet, please do have a chat with Jamie or with myself at the end of the service. And you know what? God's patience towards us, it doesn't stop when we become Christians. God's patient love carries on through our lives as we learn to live more like Jesus. God's like a good parent teaching his child to read. He bears with us as we make mistakes time and again, taking two steps forward and one step back. A good patient parent doesn't expect his child to be reading massive novels like War and Peace the day after she learns the alphabet. And our good, patient Father doesn't expect us to be perfect on day one. He knows that often, far too often, we take two steps forward, one step back, or sometimes even one step forward and two steps back. But he doesn't lash out, does he? He doesn't lose his temper. He's patient with us. He trains us. He disciplines us, and let's be honest, he teaches us the same lessons over and over and over again. And slowly we do make progress in living lives that reflect Jesus more and more. God's patient with us, and his patience brings salvation to us, and his patience makes us godly, makes us more like Jesus. God's patience achieves something that just brute strength, just raw power wouldn't achieve. A person won't turn from sin and begin to live for Jesus only because of God's strength. It takes his patience. It takes God's patience to bring someone to turn their life over to him. And it takes God's patience to enable someone to live for Jesus day by day. So there's what we've seen, what God's patience with us has done and is doing. Here's the second thing to say. God calls us to be patient with others. See what our patience will achieve. God calls us to be patient with others. See what our patience will achieve. Just as God's super patience with us brings us to know Christ and keeps on helping us walk with Christ more and more, well, so he calls us to be patient with people around us. So, brothers and sisters, be patient with non-Christians. As we seek to make the gospel known at school, at work, in our families, and with people who don't know Jesus, people who don't trust Jesus, we need to not lose our temper when people don't get what we're talking about. We need to be patient to keep on showing love and speaking about Jesus. When people don't understand why Jesus needed to come, we just can't lash out at them and call them stupid or ignorant. We can't even think of them in that way. When people think that it's not fair that God should say not to do certain things, we can't lose our rag with them. Because God didn't with you, did he? Even though you went for months, for years, not understanding the stuff that seems so obvious to you now, even though it took forever for the penny to drop. Brothers and sisters, we need to recognize that these people are blinded by Satan, the god of this age. We need to realize that they are being kept prisoner by Satan. That he has got a firm grip on their hearts and their minds. So no wonder it seems that often when we speak, it's like chucking marbles at a brick wall and they just bounce off. And yet, speaking, sharing this gospel, it's not a hopeless task, is it? Because God's word is living and active. And as we share that word with them, the Spirit can use that word to set the prisoners free so that they can walk with Christ. And as we share the gospel with others, the Spirit can use that word to open blind eyes so that they will see the beauty of Jesus. He did it for us. He opened our blind eyes. He brought us out of the prison of sin and into his kingdom. So then he can do it for our neighbours. He can do it for our colleagues, for our friends. He can do it for our kids. He can do it for our unconverted husbands or wives too. So brothers and sisters, keep on sowing that word. Keep on doing it patiently. And ask God to strengthen you by his Spirit so that you might be truly patient. Not looking down on people who haven't trusted Christ as though somehow you've achieved a better standard than them by your own strength. And ask God to be at work in them by his Spirit. Because friends, if taking a city requires great strength, or bringing a person to bow the knee to Christ and to acknowledge him and proclaim him as Lord, that needs a strength that none of us have. That needs a strength that only God has. So be patient with non-Christians. And then let's be patient with our Christian brothers and sisters. Let's be patient with one another. As we seek to see the gospel at work in every part of a Christian's life, let's be honest, it can be frustrating, can't it? That child who trusts Jesus, but every time she knows she's done something wrong, rather than confessing it, she lies about it. Or that man who's recently trusted Christ, and yet he's swearing just as much as before, and he's drinking just as much as he ever was. Or that Christian who's been faithfully serving at church for years, but who still loves the odd bit of gossip here and there, or struggles with what he looks at online, or finds it really hard to forgive others, or is constantly comparing herself to the people around her, or whatever it might be. It can be frustrating when growth in the Christian life seems so slow. It can be hard to be patient. But remember the example of Jesus. Remember his patience with his disciples for 3 long years and with us now. Remember how Jesus' disciples, they just constantly seemed to be arguing about who was the greatest, didn't they? And what did Jesus do with these people who so clearly didn't get what his kingdom was all about? He kept on patiently teaching them. Kept on telling them that he would be dying on a cross. Telling them to be expecting to be treated by the world like slaves rather than like kings. And that's what he does with us too, isn't it? He patiently teaches us. So that's how we're to be with one another. Patiently teaching, patiently praying for each other. Are you like me? Expecting more from others than you do from yourself? Let me tell you an illustration that I heard someone else use. I think it's really helpful. He was talking about repentance, and he says, sometimes repentance, turning from sin and walking in righteousness, it happens really quickly in a particular area. Like someone's walking down the pavement, and then just quickly they turn direction and they walk back the other way. They walk back in the right way. And repentance sometimes happens really quickly. Sometimes it takes someone longer. It's like someone on a bike. To change direction, first they have to put the brakes on and come to a stop, then they have to circle the bike round, and only then can they start going in the right direction. Sometimes repentance takes a bit longer. And then sometimes repentance looks like a massive lorry doing a 17-point turn on the Tilehurst Road. Sometimes repentance takes a long time. Sometimes repentance can be frustratingly slow. But our job is to teach. Our job is to encourage. Our job is to model right attitudes and behavior. And our job is to pray. Not to lose our temper. Because if we want to take a city, if we want to see people turning to Christ and living more and more for Christ, we need far more than physical strength. We need God-given patience. If you could have one superpower, what would it be? Brothers and sisters, I pray that this church would be known as a church full of captain patiences, because sometimes only patience will do the job. I'm going to pray, and then I think Malcolm's going to come and lead us in another song. Oh, my Father God, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for how you have brought people to know yourself and to establish this church. And then through the years, you've brought others to know you and to be joined to this church. And I pray that together, through this whole series that they've been doing on interpersonal relationships, they would be growing together. They would be glorifying you in the way that they interrelate to one another as well as to non-Christians. And Lord God, I do pray that that would also then be a beacon of light to those outside. That people might see how these Christians love one another, see how these Christians love us, and that they might want some of that. And that, Lord God, they might find the greatest love of all in the Lord Jesus Christ. So teach us patience, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.